Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending day three of our conference. I'm Toshiya Hari. I cover the semiconductor and semi-cap equipment space at Goldman Sachs. This morning, we're very pleased to have Gary Dickerson and Bob Halliday, CEO and CFO of Applied Materials. Guys, thank you very much for doing this. You know, you reported results yesterday. I'm sure you're very busy, so I really appreciate it. To anyone who's relatively new to this space, you may not know that Gary and Bob have a very long history, dating back to 2004, I believe, and that their current partnership at Applied really took hold in 2013. So Gary or Bob, if you can tell us, what were you doing together in those previous years, and what were some of the biggest highlights for your investors back then?
Well, maybe I'll warm up in the post-Gary years, and then he could do the pre-Bob years, when he was at KLA. So it's been a lot of fun. Gary, I went to Varian Semiconductor in 2001. Gary joined Varian in 2004. And then we both came out. We were both here. I showed up here a little less than 4 years ago. Gary was born 4 years ago. And Varian was a lot of fun. We were at 30% market share, and we got up to 75% market share. The market cap increased sort of like 6x, and we sold for cash deal $5 billion to Applied Materials. And we also returned $535 million of cash to investors through that period, through buybacks. So Varian was a tremendous amount of fun. And then, we both came to Applied in 2013. And I'll start the Applied story, and Gary can add to it and add KLA story. And, when we came to Applied, I think the stock was kind of in the $10.65 type range or something like that. And, you know, we had WFE share of about 18 points, and the display business was doing about $452 million in equipment sales a year. And then the service business was sort of about a $2 billion business. So if you look at the revenue lines of Applied, WFE, we're up to, you know, 22% probably. Display's gone from $452 to like a $2 billion booking rate. Services is up over $2.6, going to be over $3 billion soon. And then the margins are, you know, next quarter, we're going to have operating margins over 27%. The after-tax margins are going to end up being north of 20% pretty sustainably, we think. And then in terms of returns to shareholders, you know, we bought back $3 billion of our own stock in end of 2015, 2016. So it's been a lot of fun. I don't know, Gary, you might want to add in some.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm basically a product technology customer-focused person. And, you know, when I was at KLA, we grew revenue 20 times in 18 years, invented inline wafer inspection. At Varian, as Bob said, we grew the market cap 6x in 7 years. There was a huge technology inflection that we were driving at Varian, also expanding our total available market. And at Applied, I have to say I'm having more fun than I've had at any point in my career, because, you know, the semiconductor, we made a strategic decision about 4 years ago that semi and display were the places to invest. So, we have moved over the last few years, over $500 million in R&D, into semi and display. And, the changes that are happening in those markets in semiconductor and display are bigger than we've seen in decades. And the fundamental enabling technology for those inflections is materials innovation. So, you know, if I look back through my career at KLA, you know, inventing inline wafer inspection, or, in Varian, there was a huge technology inflection, or in Applied Materials, with semi and display, our strategy is inflection-focused innovation. 40% of our revenue, right now is coming from products that we've introduced in the last 3 years. We're still in the early adoption of many of those products. We can grow as fast as we can qualify. And we have some dynamite new products in the pipeline in semiconductor and display going forward. So I personally, I've been around a long time. I've never been more bullish on our core markets, and I've never been more positive in terms of the company position.
And Gary, as you said, you've been doing this for a very long time and very successfully. What are some of the strategies that you kind of use when you try to win in semi-cap equipment, and how are those strategies different now that you're Applied versus a smaller company like Varian?
You know, the playbook is really very similar. One of the first things I did at Applied, besides moving massive amounts of money, we cut G&A 30%. We moved over $200 million in R&D out of solar into our core market. So we made a strategic bet. Semi and display are good places to invest. We also, again, are focused on inflections. And one of the things I believe, Applied is the best company in the world in materials innovation: PVD, Epi, implants, CMP, ALD, the selective removal of materials. The portfolio that we have with Applied is absolutely fantastic. But we also wanted to have a repeatable process within the company. So we implemented this product development engine. And basically, what it is teaching people how do you define winning products, and then how do you develop winning products better, faster, and lower cost. So we've trained 8,500 people. But within the first month, I had a Sunday meeting. Every Sunday, we were driving and creating that framework. And then that's permeated through the entire company so that we have this repeatable process in terms of how we drive innovative new products. But the playbook is basically the same. You win in inflections. You win in enabling your customers to implement new technologies. So it's certainly on a bigger scale within Applied Materials. It is an incredible amount of fun.
Right. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about cyclicality in the industry. You guys talked about it in November. I think you came back to it last night on the call. For those that have been covering semis and semi-cap for a long time, we're always kind of concerned about the peak and the trough and, again, the peak. What's different this time, and what gives you confidence in believing that this time is indeed different?
Sure. Cyclicality or volatility in our industry are basically driven by capacity is out of alignment with demand, supply and demand. And the three things that drive that are, over the long period, hey, is there too much excess production capacity for a short period of time, kind of inventory problems? Two, is there demand drivers have slowed down? And three, just they got more productivity type stuff. So if you go look at it, demand drivers are more diverse than they used to be. That's the big thing. I mean, years ago, it was kind of PCs and the three-year cycle of Microsoft operating system. And then everyone acknowledged that mobile came along. And that really got more to an annual seasonal product cycle with a growing rate and more of a consumer base. But now what's happening, which is a little harder to visualize, is there's many more applications out there. So people are using the cloud or their phone to drive consumer applications, whether it's enabling Uber or big data or Airbnb or autonomous cars or virtual reality. So the application space is really big. And if you look at the guys driving this value at the top of the on the applications level, whether it's Amazon, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, big companies driving utilization of physical assets in the universe through software and processors around big data and distributed applications. The application space, demand drivers are much bigger, broader, and sustainable. And then if you look at devices, the capital intensity is up 20%-25% pretty much node to node. It costs some more to make those devices, more equipment. Now, people worried about Moore's Law. Hey, at the leading edge logic, can you afford that? Well, the applications have grown substantially. And things like memory, where you go stacking it, it's a different Moore's Law, right? So what's the point? Demand drivers are more sustainable, I believe, and more predictable. Then if you look at capacity, they realize a lot of productivity benefits going from 200 to 300, going from IDMs to big foundries. Those things have mostly happened. So I think that the demand drivers for us are much more predictable and upward bound. And we're really well positioned in that. And the exact same thing's happening in display. We see big TVs growing. You see mobile OLED growing. So the demand drivers are bigger, more sustainable, and our position's growing.
Yeah. I think, as Bob said, we work very closely with a lot of big technology companies. And as we're working with those companies, you see the pace of innovation accelerating. So transportation will change. Healthcare will change. Entertainment will change. And to drive that, you need faster processors. You need more memory. You need displays that are as good as your eyes, all of these new technologies. And to enable those new technologies, at the foundation is materials innovation, materials engineering. For us, the pull and the engagements that we have are earlier, deeper, and broader with customers, our customers' customers, in terms of enabling those inflections. The other thing I would say, I've met three of the top four memory CEOs in the last month, and they're all very bullish. I went to our data center, and we have a flash server. We have flash servers in the data center, 80% lower power consumption, and 60 to 70% lower total cost of ownership. So, you see this technology, the pull being very strong. One of the big memory CEOs was showing a projection where they could add 6 million wafer starts over the next few years to serve the demand for the explosion of data and these new capabilities. So, again, as I said before, I've never been more bullish relative to the sustainability, the pull in our core businesses, and I'm also incredibly positive on Applied's ability to enable those big technology inflections to accelerate those innovations.
Great. And Gary, you talk a lot about technology inflections. In the financial community, we talk a lot about the transition from 2D NAND to 3D NAND.
Yeah.
We talk about 3D transistors in logic and foundry. So are there any other inflections that you're monitoring today that could potentially benefit your business going forward?
Yeah, we've talked in display about some other big opportunities that we're focused on. Again, my whole career is focused on inflections and enabling customers to build devices that weren't possible before. So you look at Selectra. Selectra, our etch business has grown. Overall etch business has grown about 4x in orders in the last 4 years, from around $400 million to around $1.5 billion. So you have this capability where in etching, you are removing a material, but you're also removing or damaging materials that are around that material. So this new capability that is growing as fast as we can qualify basically gives you something like 1,000-to-1 selectivity of one material to another. You can remove materials not just line of sight, but also laterally. So designers have never had that type of capability before, and some of the technology barriers that the industry is facing, this kind of technology enables you to design a device with a much bigger process window and build your device differently than what's happened in the past. Those kinds of technologies, there are other ones that we have in our pipeline for semiconductor, are more enabling, more disruptive than anything that we've introduced so far within Applied Materials. 40% of our revenue comes from products in the last 3 years. We're still in the early adoption of those new technologies, but some really great new technologies, similar to what I described with Selectra, that is totally new and enabling from a design perspective. And then in display, really it's the same thing. We look at the big inflections there. Our total available market has increased dramatically. Our display business, if you go over a four-year period of time, has grown orders by a factor of 5, from around $400 million to $2 billion. As customers have moved from amorphous silicon to organic or LED displays, our total available market has increased by a factor of 3. And going forward, we said that we're focused on doubling our total available market again. It's around these inflections, enabling customers to build organic LED for mobile, new TV technologies, flexible, bendable, foldable types of display technologies, and that's all enabled by materials innovation.
Great. Bob, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the market going forward. On last night's call, you went through some numbers for 2017 and gave preliminary expectations for 2018. We'll dig deeper in terms of NAND, DRAM, Foundry afterwards, but if you can give kind of high-level thoughts on both this year and potentially going into next year, that'd be great.
Sure. Let me just do WFE in total, wafer fab equipment in total. I'll do a little display market total, then we can drill into it.
Yeah.
So historically, if you go back years, people used to look at our wafer fab equipment market, say it was very volatile, and that it kind of averaged high 20s, maybe $30 billion a year. because there were some down years. It probably might have taken a little under $30 billion, actually. We've been pretty strong at basically $30 billion or more since 2010. We actually track the volatility, how big was the one standard deviation off that, and it's kind of like a quarter of the variation it used to be. What's interesting, if you look at it, even within device type, the volatility's gone down. In terms of total spend, it's trended up. We thought last year, most of the year, we thought it would be like $33.7, then we upped it to $34 something at the end of the year. We think it ended up at $35 billion last year in 2016. Back in September, we thought 2017 would probably be like a $34.5 billion. We're now thinking closer to high $36 billion, $37 billion. You say, "Oops, what about 2018?" We actually think 2018 is probably up. Believe it or not, we think NAND's probably up, DRAM's up. We think logic's pretty good. We think China is an 2018 story, even stronger than 2017. Foundry, we think the trailing edge within foundry stays real strong. We're kind of halfway into the 10/7 transition, and capital intensity across the board's going up, which helps with spend. We think 2018's good chance it's an up year.
Okay, great. In terms of individual markets or applications, I think NAND is the most topical given how well that market has done over the past couple of years and definitely this year as well. Which inning do you think we are in the 2D to 3D transition, and how do you think about sustainability in NAND spend in 2018 and beyond?
I'll give you some data, then Gary can jump in, too. There used to be about 1.4 million wafer starts per month of NAND capacity in the world. It's probably close to 1.6 now. As of the end of calendar 2016, they'd converted about 420,000-450,000 wafer starts to 3D from 2D. I think they're going to convert virtually all of that to 3D eventually because 3D devices work better than 2D, and NAND devices in general, solid state works better than hard disk drives, so it'll expand their addressable market. By the end of this year, we think they'll kind of be at 750. Out of the kind of 1.6 million wafer starts, by the end of calendar 2017, they'll have done 750,000 per month converted. We think they'll continue to convert those, and we believe, talking to customers, they told us, as Gary said, they're going to have to add on top of that 6 million wafer starts per year, which is 500,000 per month, obviously, of additional capacity just for servers, where they're getting a big growth in NAND demand at our customers' level. My opinion, we're kind of in the fourth inning, where we're kind of going to go to extra innings because we're fourth inning of converting the 1.6 million, but they're going to add capacity. I think there's sustainability for a while.
Bob is going overtime like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Red Sox are going to do well this year, too.
Gary, do you want to add anything to that?
No. Again, when I talk to the memory CEOs, they're very bullish about the opportunity. As I mentioned before, I go into our data center, 80% lower power consumption, tremendous improvement in terms of total cost of ownership. The customers I'm talking to are very bullish about the long-term opportunities in memory. I also think that we're seeing for the first time in a long time, maybe decades, a huge inflection in how the devices are built, going from 2D to 3D NAND. I really believe, again, running out of electrons and also hitting cost barriers, and then now going in a vertical direction. I believe if you look at what customers are working on in terms of new memory technologies, I think you're going to see a lot of innovation happening there. Again, it's all enabled by materials innovation. We're working very closely with customers on those new technologies.
Okay, great. Kind of transitioning to foundry. This is another segment that's been really strong for you guys, and I think the diversification and demand, if you will, is positive for that universe as well. What are your thoughts on some of your foundry customers in 2017 and again 2018?
Sure. Just to close on NAND for a minute, I think the market's good on NAND, and I'll do foundry one second, but our position's grown a lot. For those of you who don't follow Applied, used to be, if you go back to 2012, 2013, you'd said, "Hey, if it's good foundry, you buy Applied. If it's good memory, you don't buy Applied." Well, our market share by foundry, NAND, DRAM, and logic, in 2012, we were under 15% and under 14%, a couple, in DRAM, NAND, and logic. We were only significantly over 20% in foundry. If you go to 2017, we're going to be over 21.5% in all of them, NAND, DRAM, foundry, and logic. We are much stronger in memory than we used to be, and that's growth in a lot of different products. That if you say to me, "Is it a memory year or a foundry year for Applied?" I don't care so much anymore. Foundry have a good profile of products, but my share opportunities are even bigger in memory, frankly. Okay? Now going to foundry. In foundry, it's a pretty big year this year. What's interesting, if you look at spending by the foundries and you did a pillar, what nodes are they spending on? They're spending 40%-41% of their total spend this year on 20 nanometer and above, 20, 28, 45, 55% at 10, 7, and the other sort of small high single digits on 16, 14. Okay? In terms of next year, at the end of this year, you only have 120,000-140,000 wafer starts per month of 10, 7. 10, 7 in particular is going to be a big node. They're probably going to get to twice of that at the peak. They're kind of halfway done on 10, 7. The second thing is this trailing edge, which is like 40%-41%, 20, 28, 45, and above. That's going to be strong next year, too. Why is that going to be strong? Because you got spending in China, and you got spending on sensors. Now, sensors are interesting because it's the whole Internet of Things. That drives sales of equipment in 200 and 300 millimeter, but what also drives is big demands for memory and processing power. That's kind of a leading indicator of where the memory and processors are going. Next year, we think trailing edge stays strong, 10, 7, you still got a lot to go. What's buried in all that spending numbers, which you don't quite see, is node to node, it's kind of 25% more capital intensive, going from kind of 2016 to 10, 7. It's about 25% more capital intensive, generally speaking. I think next year, foundry's going to be pretty good. Is it as big as this year? Similar? I don't know. It's close.
Okay, great. Another topic that comes up a lot is China. I think for those of us that have been covering this space for some time, China's been always kind of the N plus one driver in semi cap, and it has grown, but I think it's under-delivered relative to some of the promises in the past. What's different this time? Gary, when you meet with your customers, what do they think?
Sure.
In terms of CapEx?
Yeah, China, I think in 2017, we're estimating around $2.6 billion in total sales in China. If you compare 2017, what we're forecasting, versus 2015, our semi business is doubling. Our display business and service businesses are both up 50%. Applied established our office in China in 1984, so we have a very, very long history. It's one of our highest market share regions. We have a very strong team there. We have very strong share and very strong relationships with both multinational and domestic companies. The drive in China is really strategic. You have the largest IC market in the world, and they're supplying about 13% of the domestic consumption. You have that big gap that they would like to close. There also is a huge drive to have a secure supply chain. There is a lot of money there, and there's a number of announcements relative to projects in China. Also, you see some very strong executives that are joining some of the teams within China. People that have been running R&D for large foundries or CEOs or other really strong technology executives that are becoming a part of that whole ecosystem there in China. What we're seeing is that they understand that on leading edge, it's going to take a long time for them to get up to the leading edge. There is a huge focus from a strategic standpoint to build that capability. They understand that they'll be patient, so it won't be as efficient in the first phases, the first several years. There is a lot of strong people that are becoming a part of those organizations. We're optimistic that as our semi revenue or orders are doubling from 2015 to 2017, we believe there's a good opportunity for that to grow significantly, maybe double again between 2017 and 2019, based on what we're seeing from all of those different companies. The other thing I think that's different in China that we've seen now is the strength in the trailing nodes, as you talked about, and I think Bob talked about IoT, smart devices, sensors, all of those different kinds of products. The demand is much stronger, and China certainly is building out capacity in those areas. I think that the outlook for those markets are also very positive. I don't know, Bob, if you want to add any.
I think that's good. I think we have a great footprint in China in terms of semi display and historically solar. Sometimes you find some of these relationships interconnect that help you a lot. I think we're very well positioned.
Great. As a follow-up to that, the incremental revenue dollars in China, do you think that's all incremental, or would you expect some cannibalization?
Well, I think.
In some of the other regions?
Yeah. As I said before, when I talk to those organizations in China or other customers, I think they're very experienced. They understand that the efficiency in the early stages is not going to be as high. If you say, how many bits am I producing per dollar of investment, it will not be as efficient. That'll happen over a number of years. Eventually, that gap will close, but I think the initial investments will not be as efficient.
Okay. Switching gears a little bit on display, it's come up numerous times already, but to your point, Gary, you've grown the business 4x, 5x, I don't want to get the number wrong, over the past couple of years. What's kind of the outlook there? What are some of the end markets that continues to drive that business for you?
Well, certainly near term, mobile OLED is accelerating. As we talked about on the last call and also on this call, the demand for our products has broadened. 10 different customers. What we said going forward is that 50% of our business is for new companies in mobile OLED displays. That is a tremendous growth opportunity, and that will play out over a number of years. TVs, we have 10.5 generation factories, seven of them that people are working on, and the display sizes are increasing. One of the things that we track very closely is how fast are the sizes growing, and that growth has been pretty significant. Why do you want to do a Gen 10.5 factory? The reason is because it's optimized for 65 and 75-inch televisions. We see a tremendous growth there. I think longer term, if you look at display drivers, again, you have flexible, bendable, foldable types of technologies. People are working on new kinds of devices that will utilize that kind of technology. You really need materials for barriers, for moisture, the bending radius. All of those kinds of things are really enabled by materials innovation types of technologies. When you look at AR/VR, the amount of money that's being invested there is really significant. Today, the resolution and the overall user experience is not where it needs to be to hit the tipping point. We're working with big technology companies. Some of them have talked about driving 1 billion users of those new types of technologies. There again, we have current and also in the pipeline other technologies that are focused on these big new market inflections. Near term, I would say, the OLED is certainly a big driver for a few years for us. Mobile, again, the TV build-out is another one that we're seeing is very positive right now. I do think there are new technology drivers that are accelerating that create longer-term great opportunities for us.
Great. Bob, I had a question on gross margins. You put out your long-term target model, I guess, late last year. You just reported a very strong quarter in terms of gross margins. At this point, that model looks more on the conservative side. if you can kind of give some color on what are some of the initiatives that are working for you from a gross margin perspective.
Sure. The year before we walked in, 2012, I think the gross margins for the company were like 40.6 or 9. We went up to 42.1, and then we went up to 44.1, then we went down a little bit. And that was really outsized growth, frankly, in our service business and our etch business and display. And the mix offset, we were growing really fast, but the gross margin went down a little bit. So last year we went down to, what was it, 43.2. So we have a model that we'll get to 44.6 in 2019 at $34.5 billion, 45.1 at a $37 billion WFE environment. We guided that this year we'll go up a point and a half. If you go back on the year, year to year from 16, just a quarter ago we said we'd go up 0.8. So we originally said we'd get to like 44, 43.2 last year to 44 this year. Now we're saying sort of 1.5, which gets you at 44.7. So that's north of a $34.5 billion model and getting pretty close to a $37 billion margin model. So I think we're here to beat the models, frankly. Why are we doing better? Two ways you can look at this: mix, but we're actually kind of managing mix. What's really helping the model is we're executing better kind of across the things that go across all the products. Our cost reduction efforts are kicking in at almost twice the rate of what they used to be, and that adds to gross margin. Our ability to negotiate better deals for ourselves and our customers are going up. And three, new product development efforts are getting more and more disciplined when the new products come out faster and at better margin profiles. So I think we'll beat the model probably.
Okay, great. With that, I think we have a couple minutes left. I just want to make sure if we have any questions from the audience. Raise your hand.
Could you turn the speaker? So the question is, if GDP growth is kind of 3%, what's the organic growth drivers? So we believe that WFE is going to grow, whereas people used to think it was straight cyclical. It used to be that our model a few years ago was cross-cycle kind of $30 billion WFE. Then we kind of thought more 33.5, then 34.5. So that was our base model for 19. I kind of now think if I had to redo the base model for 19, I'd say WFE is more like $36 billion. So I think you're in single-digit growth rates in WFE probably, compounded annually. And then I think display's up a lot. It used to be $8 billion. This year is 17.4. I'm not sure every year is 17.4, but if you take over a window, you're kind of in double-digit growth rates for a while there. Averaged out, you know. And we'll outgrow the industries we're in. So if you modeled WFE growth, I'm making up numbers. If you modeled kind of 3-4% growth rate in WFE, our models were that we would do kind of 7% compound growth rate. We're probably going to be north of that now because WFE's picked up, display's picked up. So I think, frankly, we're going to kind of double the rate of growth sustainably, and I'll explain why it's sustainable, of the WFE market rate of growth. Why we'll grow at double the rate of growth? Our service business is going really well. Our display business is growing really well. And within WFE, I could see the share gains of about 1 to 1.5% per year. We were at 18%. We're at 22. Models 25.5, which is another 3.5 points between now and 19. We'll hit those numbers. And we have enough products in the pipeline, I can see it. Now, what you may say is, well, how do you know that's sustainable? Because we've changed the investment model of the company. If you go look at the data, we used to spend only 53%, I think, on R&D, and now it's like 66% on R&D. But wait, it's even better than that, because in that 53% we spent on R&D, some of it was on solar, which was kind of a dry well, right? Then if you say, okay, now I'll say you move $400 or $500 million to R&D, it's really more like $600 million of impact R&D. But wait, A big piece of the R&D spend we used to spend was on continuous improvement programs. If you look at, we've got kind of $800 million-$900 million on new products, the increment, right? That new product stuff is what moved the needle. We've changed the investment model. If you look at the batting average on the new products, it's like twice as high batting average on successful new products. While we've changed the investment model and we've changed the execution model of the company, and frankly, Gary was ahead of me on this one. We've trained 8,500 engineers on how to develop new products, right? That goes to understand the market requirements, deep dive. We have a whole science on this, red teams, architectural entitlements, high-value problems, deeply wide. People are drinking the Kool-Aid, right? We're managing 60 products across the company, sustainably growing that. I am sure through this product development engine we talk about, that we will sustainably outgrow the market by developing new products faster and more effectively than we ever did before. What's the point? I think the markets grow single digits. We'll probably double the rate of growth.
Yeah, I think if you look at what we said on 2017, we said that we thought semi would grow somewhere 5% or more. We're going to grow 2x that rate in service, 4x that rate in semi, and 10x that rate in display. I really believe that big inflections will continue to happen at a faster pace, just like we saw 2D to 3D NAND, biggest change in decades, and new display technologies also. Our focus is on those inflections and enabling those inflections. Applied has never been in a better position with all of the broad portfolio talent technology we have for materials innovation to enable our customers to deliver the innovations that will change transportation, healthcare, entertainment, all of those big markets. I think when you look at growing four times faster in the semi business or two times faster in the service business like we're doing in 2017, I don't see any reason why we can't continue that. I really think that we're in a sweet spot relative to what value and enabling capability that Applied will deliver in our core markets, and then also other adjacent markets. We've shown that we can grow in display using the technology portfolio that we have within Applied Materials, and I think there are other opportunities there also.
That will result in a lot of margin expansion and cash expansion, too.
Okay, great. On that positive note, I think we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.